accepted. I wanna equip you and use you against my enemies, yeah. You see, I wanted to save you and then learn how to raise you, but I forget you from the wilderness.
What is going on, everyone? I am Rob. There is no Eamon today. I am recording this episode just before the live show, so we are probably, as this episode goes out, nursing hangovers and trying to process and also recharge our social batteries. We have a rough idea of who's coming and the numbers and stuff, so we would like to thank everyone who bought a ticket. Thanks to everyone who made the effort to come. We know in these times, for many reasons, it's quite difficult to get the money to go to a live show, to make the trip. And so we very much appreciate those that did. It really meant a lot to us. So, yeah, hope you enjoyed the live show. Yeah, scary stuff. But that's behind us now. What is in today's episode? Well, we didn't have time to record an actual mini fuzz because we've been just so busy preparing everything. So what I'm going to post on the feed today is a really great chat that I had with the lads over at the Amish Inquisition podcast. It was myself, those guys, and then Lee from the Big Conspire podcast as well. And we had conversations about kind of the old stuff that I would have talked about when I smoked lots of hash in, like, you know, 2010. 2009, say. So it's all kind of early conspiracy stuff. There's some Monster Fuzz based stuff as well, and it was just a really good chat. So, you know, I think you guys will enjoy it, so I figured let's put it out on the mini full slot. And you can go and check out the boys over at the Amish Inquisition as well, because they do a really good podcast. So head on over, show them some love, and do all of that good stuff. Before we get to that episode, I'd just like to remind everyone, Patreon is the best way to support the show. Maybe you couldn't make it to the live show and you really wanted to. Maybe you really enjoy what we do. Maybe you get a laugh out of us every week. Maybe it helps pass the time. If it does, consider supporting us on Patreon. That's the new way to do things, guys. Old media is kind of, I wouldn't say dead, but I would say that if you consume new media, independent media, you kind of do have to support it. We don't have the backing of big companies, or we're not on payrolls but for anyone or anything like that. So do check out Patreon if you can. You can get your 2 months for free over there as well if you'd like to sign up for the year. And as you know, you get your ad-free stuff, all of that stuff. The video version of the live podcast, whenever that comes out, will be available over there first. So, yeah, do head on over, check out all our socials, give us a tag, we always like them. That t-shirt competition will go on another week, so if you are listening to the podcast, just tag us on Instagram, let us know, and you'll be automatically included. We'll announce the winner for that next week, should I remember. And as well, as always, guys, we love your writings, whether it be about some weird dreams, some synchronicities, some medium stories, something paranormal, something cryptid based. Whatever it is, write into monsterfuzzpodcast@gmail.com. Or, it's been a long, long time since we've gotten a voice note, speakpipe.com/monsterfuzz. Maybe you were at the live show. Send in a voice note of your impressions. Let us know what you thought. Let the other listeners know what you thought. And yeah, that's about all I have to say, guys. Again, as you know, thanks for coming out to the live show. We really do appreciate it. But without further ado, let's get to the Amish Inquisition.
Five, four, three, two, one.
All right then. Hello, welcome and bienvenue. Konnichiwa, ni hao, jambo, morhaba. It's time for the Amish Inquisition yet again, episode 258 on Sunday, the 20th of November, 2022. I'm Phil.
I'm Amish Ben. Oh.
Hey, got you. And no, Matt this week. Matt's on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan,
yes,
I believe.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, he's going to blow it up.
Too late, man. Too late. Fucking Grand Moff Tarkin got there first.
You'll get there and it'll all be fucking rubble.
Yeah. Anyway, never mind. We've got Lee with us. Our mate Lee from The Vic and Spy. How are we doing, Lee?
We're all good.
Very good. Good. Nice to see you again. And we're also joined by one half of Monster Fuzz. Rob, how are you doing, Rob?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, lads?
Good, thanks, mate. Good. Good to see you guys.
Marvellous.
Yeah, cheers for having us.
Yeah, I was looking for pictures of Bigfoot, and I couldn't resist that Harry and the Hendersons one.
Yes,
I
take
he's a good
back.
Lad, isn't he, Harry and the Henderson?
You know, how Ron Perlman didn't get an Oscar for that role, I don't know.
Ron Perlman, actually, a friend of mine had a West Highland Terrier that was the very same as Ron Perlman. People used to ask for his autograph and everything when they were walking downtown.
Holy shit.
That's ace.
Yeah, it was a ringer for him.
Oh, good.
Oh, and relax, isn't it? Isn't it a relief when the stream goes off without a hitch?
I don't think that's ever happened.
You don't care, do you? You just sit back. Just like, he's talking to me. I'm like trying pressing all these buttons, and he's there talking to me in my ear, like trying to make me concentrate on something else. Anyway, yeah, it's nice to see you chaps again. I was just saying before we started, Lee, you introduced me to Monster Fuzz not so long ago.
Yep, I tried to anyway. It's like, go listen to these guys. Funny as fuck.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you, Lee.
No, it's true. Because I listen to podcasts all day because I'm out working by myself. And yeah, I always love listening to Monster Fuzz. I'm a like delivery driver and I'll be walking up to someone's door to deliver something. And then you'll say something and I'll be laughing, knock on the door. They're opening the door and I'm laughing my fucking head off at them. And they probably think I'm laughing at them, but I'm not. It's just what you guys have been saying.
They could be laughing at them too, but thank you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that often happens.
Yeah, yeah.
How long have you been going now, Rob?
Lockdown. So like two and a half years ago, we were sort of at a loss of something to do. And you guys know yourself, you probably have some type of impulse to put stuff out. We're the same. So I was kind of bored. I was like, I wasn't doing anything at the time. I used to do a lot of YouTube and stuff, and I was kind of wanting a project, something new. And myself and Eamon, like, we always shared the interest in talking about this kind of stuff as well, you know, cryptids, paranormal stuff and conspiracies, all that type of stuff. And because we were at nothing, we just kind of said to ourselves, like, well, why don't we give a podcast a go? And of course, Eamon was one of the original OG crowd on those conspiracy guys. So he had a bit of experience in that regard with podcasting. So we just said we'd give it a go. And yeah, it's been really fun. Like, it's just been kind of one of those things where you had no expectations going in, and it's just kind of been progressively getting better and more people are listening, and it's just real fun. Yeah, it's good crack.
Was it podcasting that got you into cryptids and stuff? Or were you like a 14-time subscriber back in the day?
14 TV on Channel 4.
I wouldn't have been. So we started, like, I think Jurassic Park started me off on the road of monsters and being obsessed with them, right? I mean, who wasn't into it back in the day? And from there, I had this book, and it was the weirdest fucking thing. I had forgotten about this book my whole life. We were recording an episode of the podcast about a year ago, and some sequence of words just fucking ignited something in my brain, and I went, that fucking book I used to have as a child. I had this book called Monsters. Eamon said something that kind of brought it up, and it had like this black cover with like a sea monster on the cover. And it was like a hardcover kind of kids book. I'd say it was probably for young adults or something. And this book had every single cryptid, high strangeness encounter, all of this mad shit in it, like Wolfman, all of these really cool stories. I had Mekele Membe, have you ever heard about that? The African sauropod and stuff like that. And I had this when I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I was fucking reading this shit and loving it. And only from that memory, when he said it, I went, fuck, that's what it is. So I actually found the book on eBay. It took ages to find it, and I ordered myself a copy again. And when I got it, I was like, oh, this is show notes for another 2 years. So it's kind of crazy. Like, it comes around full circle, but I had completely forgotten about that. And then later on as a teenager, you know, you get into like Chupacabra, you hear about all that kind of stuff, and it's just all funny, silly stuff. But for me, it was always like, dinosaurs that might still be alive kind of got me interested in that weird road to go down, you know?
Yeah, I think, like, I remember I think, like, when we were in school, probably everyone in our class wanted to be a paleontologist.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when Jurassic Park came out, you know, I think, what was it, 92, was it?
Yeah.
So we'd have been like 9, 10 years old or something. And I was saying, I was obsessed.
You're Eamon's age then. So, yeah, so we all grew up with that kind of shit. And I think that kind of primed us, because you have like Dino Crisis, Resident Evil, all that kind of stuff set us up to be into that, right?
Do you remember Turok, the Dinosaur Hunter on the N64?
Oh, brilliant game. Cerebral bore, man. Getting in there, drilling that.
I feel like one of those dinosaurs in this podcast. You're like, oh, I'm at school in 92 when Jurassic Park came out and I'm out working and, you know, my first kid's on the way. That's what.
Oh, really? Yeah, what age are you?
60?
Don't ask a woman her age. Yeah. I'm not quite 60.
True, I'm nearly 50.
Early 50, yeah. Look good for it. I would have said you're around our age now, to be honest.
Yeah, I've got a good filter on.
My grandtop took me to see Jurassic Park when it first came out. And she's from Belfast, or she was from Belfast. Yeah. And there's a scene, like, fairly early on in the film where the two kids, and I think Sam Neill, are fleeing a herd of gallimimus. They're the ones that look like ostriches.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where they sort of like jump behind a log and take cover behind a log, and they come bounding over him. And Minanda's like, she leans over and she goes, "It's amazing, Philip, how they train them to do that, isn't it?"
That's the magic of cinema, though.
My granddad brought me to see Titanic, and I'll never forget. I was young, and I'll never forget Kate Winslet's tea and how awkward I felt when that popped up on screen and my granddad sitting beside me. I was like, oh shit, this is not good.
Especially with your hand down your pants as well.
Awkward.
Orcs.
I bet you couldn't wait to rewatch it though, could you, on your own?
Oh, yeah.
Still not seen it, you know.
That's
in Titanic. It's a film.
I get ripped all the time because like there's all these classic films that I've never seen.
We won't spoil the ending on you. You should watch it. It's brilliant.
All right. Yeah. Hey, Lee, did you ever get into the conspiracy theory around the Titanic?
Yeah, of course. With the sister ship that they sunk instead of the Titanic. Yeah, of course.
Olympia, was it?
I think it was the Olympic.
Yeah.
I heard about that. Wasn't there something about JP Morgan involved in all that type of stuff? Was it him?
No, that's to do with the people, to do with the bankers who were on the ship who sunk. But that's different from the other conspiracy, which is the their sister ship, I can't remember which way around it was, one of them crashed. It was the captain who was on the Titanic. He was in charge of their sister ship. Mm-hmm. They crashed that ship into, I think it was like a Navy ship.
Yeah.
And basically what they'd done is they took that ship, took all the name off of the Titanic, put it on that ship, and then kept the Titanic as the sister ship, and then took the Titanic out and sunk that because took the sister ship out as the Titanic, and that one, that's the one that sunk.
So yeah, they just did like a patch-up job on it, didn't they? Rather than, because it was going to cost that much to repair, and the Titanic was behind schedule as well, I think. And wasn't there a story that JP Morgan was supposed to be on it, wasn't he? And he didn't cancel the day before or something?
Yep.
There's a lot of weirdness about it.
It was all the bankers who were against the gold, going off the gold standard. A load of them, or like the people with power, were on the ship and they went down with it as well.
Mm.
So that's part of, they would have been the ones, when it got to America, they would have been the ones who stood up and said, oh, we don't want to come off the gold standard. We don't want this fractal banking thing. Yeah.
They all went
down with the ship.
There's a weird galactic element to the iceberg that I heard as well. Apparently there was like a super moon, or the moon was in perigee or apogee. I can't remember which way around it was, but the gravity was strong and they had super high tides the week before the Titanic went out. And there was and a bit of ice broke off Newfoundland, I think, or somewhere in Canada, and floated down. And the iceberg shouldn't have been there that it crashed into, which is why they were sort of freaked out by it being there.
It was a drone iceberg.
That's it. Controlled by
with the moon.
Like Moff Tarkin.
Yeah.
Grand Moff Tarkin,
dolphins. They were using the dolphins to push the iceberg.
I don't know where I heard that. I might have read it on a bus shelter.
Probably true, though.
The back of a toilet cubicle somewhere. Phone, this number, and there's the story.
Written in excellent prose, like loads of paragraphs.
So, Rob, when you do your podcast, a lot of the time you start off with a poem and a song.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Why did
I have no idea. So I knew that Eamon, my co-host, is fantastic at improv. He's really fucking good at improv. Like, when we were growing up and we do songs and stuff, like, the lads would be playing guitar and stuff, and Eamon would just sing on the spot and make songs up. Kind of like, if you guys are familiar with, like, the old CKY stuff, Brandon D. Camillo, and how he'd freestyle rap and all that, Eamon was very good at that style of thing. So when we started the podcast, I wanted something that would highlight that he was really good at doing things off the cuff. And I just started writing things because I thought it'd be funny. And yeah, he's just his songs, like the stuff that he comes out with on the spot is great. Like, you know what I mean? It's just
a lot of the time you make him into a sexual deviant, though.
I do, yeah. I make him out to be like a pervert sex pest. And then it kind of riles him up and he comes out with a great song. But it was basically just to highlight Eamon's talents as like an improv singer. He's so good at that stuff that it would be just a waste not trying to bring that out of him, you know.
It boggles my mind that it's like I were watching that Rise Above.
Oh yeah.
And they've got like live MCing on there. And I just don't understand. It's like the brains must work different, the way they can just improvise and make it coherent. And I'd be triplets, you know, blah, 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 blah. I want to be able to get a fucking sentence out straight. Never mind, like, improvise a whole story like that. It's crazy.
Even improv comedy is the same. It's like, and our friend Gordo as well from Those Conspiracy Guys, he's very like that as well. He's very good at improv on the spot, kind of quick thinking comedy would be more his thing. And like, it's just something that when you have that talent, like, you kind of have to show it off, right? So you're like, lads that are good at that, it's just amazing. Like, I think there was like a company interested in Eamon's jingle he did one time, and this was before the podcast. He had like their ingredients to some fucking thing that they were making, and he sang the ingredients off the back of the packet or something like that. And this company were like, this is fucking brilliant. Like, they got in touch with him over Instagram and all this kind of stuff. And it was literally just off the spot. Here's like, let's just do this and go with this. But I love that. I love that ability. It's a fantastic thing, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm terrible at comedy. Is someone will say something to me and it'll be 3 hours later and then I'll be like, oh, that's what I should have said.
Well, maybe writing might be your thing then, you know, because some people are better with writing and some people are better with on the spot type of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Ricky Gervais is a great all-rounder. I'm trying to think of a good example, but like, there's a lot of great British comedians that write stuff more than they do improv, you know. So maybe Ricky Gervais is a poor example, but there's some really good improv. Like Jimmy Carr, for example, he's great off the cuff, like, you know what I mean? You wouldn't want to say anything to that guy. But then maybe Bob Mortimer is more of a sketch comic. Maybe he does a lot of improv as well, though, so it's kind of hard to say. But both of those guys are hilarious.
That sort of surreal aspect, like Vic and Bob, that was pretty novel when it came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's hilarious. Yeah, hilarious. Really still is. I don't know if you guys have listened to Athletic Comments, but like, that's my favorite podcast. It's just so fucking funny. It's hilarious. Like, he'd be just screaming at it, like, so weird and fucking bizarre, you know?
Who does he do it with? Athletic Comments.
He does it with Andrew. I can't remember his name. Really, really interesting story. I believe I've got this right, but I think Andy sent him a DM on Twitter, and that's how the podcast started.
Ah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I think they had a bit of a Twitter friendship over a couple of years to do with football. I think he just messaged him and went, here, are you up for doing a podcast? And he went, yeah, sure, go on. And the rest is history. They've been doing it probably 4 or 5 years, probably about as long as you guys, actually, I'd say. And yeah, just from a DM, just a random chance, you know, it's kind of crazy.
You miss all the shots you don't take.
Yeah, this is it. This is it. You have to go for it, yeah. Have to have a brass neck, as I say. You know?
So you do your research.
Yep.
How much effort do you put into it? Is it like, look at some Google pages, get someone else's stuff, and then that'll do?
It depends, like, because do you know what? Like, I think with any podcast, you have to kind of decide, like, what do we want to present here? Like, do we want to present a factual podcast where people can respect you for your facts and say, like, I go to them because those guys know their shit? Or do you want to be a podcast where it's like, I go to them to have a laugh or whatever? We didn't want to be the I go to them because they ain't other shit type of podcast. We wanted people to just come to us and have a laugh. So we do. And now, to be fair, in a lot of episode notes, we actually did do a lot of work. Some of them we don't bother ours. We just get the bare minimum and then fuck around. But some of them, it depends. Like the Bigfoot episodes, I did a lot of research on. Like I sometimes try to avoid them because I do a lot for them. And they usually do quite well. Like people are interested in Bigfoot. But there's always a duality. I suppose you guys are the same, a comedy podcast as well. It's like you're trying to find that balance between I'm wanting to have the crack and I'm wanting to inform. So sometimes for us, the crack can take away from the information. So you have to really decide what you want to do. So for us, it's kind of a lot of time we've just kind of a lot of, we used to get a lot more feedback when we were fucking around. So we just decided, right, let's just keep fucking around more. I like it being fact checked. Like, who wants to fucking do that all the time? Like, this
one does. Especially about Slenderman, for fuck's sake. You know?
It's like,
God, it's
like,
lighten up.
It's like Bigfoot. Like, you'll go on to fucking, like, you know, people are going on about like the ditties and the way the breasts are hanging and the arms and everything. And,
I think you'll find he's 7'6", not 7'5".
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, lads, like, we're really talking about a comic book character here. And if it is real, that's fantastic. And I would love that, obviously. But, you know, we don't need to get into the nitty-gritty of like creatures that have never been seen in real life, you know. So, yeah, that's where we are with it. But sometimes we'll do episodes where maybe you're, I don't know if you guys have done it, where like someone real has actually died. And so you're trying to handle that with a little bit more respect. Like we've touched on some of the stuff, killings where people say like they were Satan influenced, you know, like Satan influenced them and they were acting on the instructions from the devil. And with that kind of stuff, I think you kind of have to handle it with a little bit more respect, because it would be kind of out of place if you threw in a dick joke when you're talking about some lad murdering someone. But by and large, yeah, we try and, depending on the topic, if it's Goatman, we're not going to spend a week researching a Goatman episode, let's be honest about it here, you know? So it really does vary. It depends. It can be days and days, or it can be a short amount of time. I can't speak for him, and I don't know how much research he puts in. We usually kind of share it between us, you know?
Are you ever disappointed with an episode? So your infamous Skinwalker Ranch.
I love that episode. That's my favorite episode.
It sort of went off in a big tangent, didn't it?
Sometimes.
Did you get any complaints?
No. The only time we got a complaint, we talked about this on the podcast before. The only time we got a legitimate complaint was when I told a story. So I'll tell the story to you guys as well. At Christmas, about 3 or 4 years ago, I was setting up something in the living room. The dryer is on in the kitchen, the clothes dryer. And I'm hearing like, you know, you're used to the noise of something, right? I was hearing the noise. It sounded funny. I was like, this fucking dryer sounds like weird. Like there's something going on with the fucking dryer. So I come in, I open the dryer, and the poor fucking cat was inside the dryer. Now the cat ran out of the dryer. It was all right. Like, so, you know, don't worry. Cat ran off. It was sick as a dog. We rang the vet. The vet told us, look, you know, wait it out and see how the cat is and blah, 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 bring it in. But anyway, the vet actually...
Stick it on the line and finish it off.
The cat had like a perm, like the cat kind of had hair like you guys' beards, you know? And he was like, look, just wait and see. But he thought it was so funny that he rang in the radio the next day. This vet did into the local radio station. And he was telling this story. He was like, never in my 20 years of being a vet have I ever heard about a cat that was put in the dryer for X amount of time or whatever, right? So I told that story on a podcast, much like I'm telling that story now. And someone like completely fucking misses the point and writes in this big A4 fucking letter, like calling us shitty people and this and that. And I'm like, I woke up one night and you guys get emails too, I'm sure. And I looked like with one eye, I checked my emails and I see this fucking message and I was vexed like for so long. I never even responded to it. But yeah, when people just miss the point completely, yeah, it's annoying. But generally we don't, I don't think people come to us looking for information, so we don't get too much hassle really, thank Christ. You know, fuck that. But yeah, people didn't like the cat story.
Would I be right to assume, Rob, that the dryer was open and the cat went in? And
yeah,
then
when did it have a fucking nap?
All right, you weren't just sort of like, grabbed it by the collar and chucked it in, no?
I wasn't. The cat coming wet.
Yeah, the cat is still alive. The cat is still alive. The cat is 11 years old, I believe, now. We're 10 years old. Her name is Chonky. And she's living at large still to this day, not a problem, you know. But it was for me, it was scary. But again, yeah, like, I mean, look, these are accidents. You can't be fucking pulling people up over that shit. But by and large, no, we haven't had much hassle from anyone. Oh, actually, sorry, Eamon went after you guys. Might have had this if you've done religious episodes, and judging by your name, maybe you have done. We did an episode on Santa Muerte. Have you guys heard about Santa Muerte?
Saint Death.
Yeah, yeah. So we did an episode about that, and I'm not even going to try and explain it because I'll annoy people when I try and explain it. But basically, a lot of people on Twitter got fucked off with us about that episode because they're like, "You got it all wrong," and it was literally just about the blurb. They didn't even fucking listen to the episode, probably for the best anyway. But they were like, "Oh, this is that," and like, "You're attacking their religion," and I'm like, "These are like 60-year-old white dudes from like some random place in America." I'm like, you're not fucking, like, do you know what I mean? You're not about that anyway. You're just fucking bored, you know?
No, the best place for comments like that is BitChute. We get some gems of comments on BitChute occasionally.
Some odd cats on there.
Especially if you're tackling religion. If you start talking about Gnosticism or mythic Christianity, anything like that, people just lose their shit because it's just so hardcore over there in certain sections, isn't it? Yeah.
Is BitChute that sort of, that's the like kind of free speech video platform, is it?
It's like YouTube, but it's less censorious, I guess.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. But yeah, I suppose that does attract a certain kind of audience that are going to pull you on that type of shit all the time, you know what I mean? So it's tough, like, it's tough. You know, when you're just mates having fun and you guys are all the same, it is tough because sometimes you forget when you're recording, you just think, well, we're just friends talking, right? Mm-hmm. And even though you are putting it out for other people to hear, you're still just friends having a conversation. And so when people are like picking that apart as a third party, it can be annoying. It can be upsetting as well when people misinterpret what you're saying. You're kind of like, look, you know, it's not that deep. Like, we're just kind of fucking around here. Mm. If you were preaching a message or you were trying to manipulate or bother people or do anything harmful, then I think it's a different thing. But when you're just having fun, it's like, who the fuck are you to come in and try and shit on it? You know, it's a strange thing.
We got one the other day. It was from way back. Do you remember when we had David Weiss on, king of the flat earthers?
Flat Earth, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nice. Someone dropped a comment last week saying, "Why is this guy laughing all the time? You ruined it. You ruined the interview." Sorry, mate, but you know, I'm not a pro, man. He's talking about flat Earth. Yeah. Well, that's another of the toxic subjects. If you do any flat Earth stuff.
Yeah, holy I'm not touching that with a fucking barge full. I can stay where it is.
Pussy! Come on, Rob. You're gagging for it. Do a flat Earth episode.
We haven't actually, do you know what? We haven't dipped. Flat Earth is kind of a neutral topic, I suppose, but we haven't dipped into like many conspiracy subjects at all. And I think for us, a little bit of that now lately has been due to, I think some of them have been kind of hijacked with political agendas nowadays. And so it's kind of hard to be like impartial and talk about a lot of this stuff because we grew up on them. I fucking loved like conspiracy theories back in the day, like, you know, in the early days of the internet, you're getting all these fucking mad shit stuff coming in. You know, one day you might be reading about 9/11, the next day you might be reading about like the Philadelphia experiment or something. And it just all kind of seemed very interesting. It was like this secret treasure trove of information that people didn't know. And you were trying to like learn about it to tell people and say like, here, you should check this out. Like, this is, you know, this is worth checking out. But I think nowadays it's very hard to sort of disseminate like what is and what isn't legitimate. What is like a political attack on another political party versus, and of course that was probably always the case as well. Even when we were young, it probably was attacks on political parties, a lot of this stuff. And you're kind of going, well, do I want to get into that deep? Like, I'm a lad from Ireland. I don't give a shit about American politics. Like, so do I want to get that deep into it really? And so it can be sticky getting into them, because, which is a shame, because I do truly love them. I think all of that stuff is really fun, but you have to know your shit when you talk about it. Like, even our friend Gordo, like, he could spend 6 months filling up his cup, as he calls it, which is basically like, you know, he'll strip back the amount of episodes he's putting out and he'll just fucking research, like, and he goes into it, like, and he goes deep into it. And I don't think I'd have the attention span to even be able to possibly manage that, but you kind of have to do it nowadays. If you're wanting to put out a show that is, like, legitimately giving him a good...
I can disagree.
You think so?
We often put out shows where we know absolutely fuck all. And probably no one's listening, so it doesn't matter. But you know what I mean? It's a bit different to Gordo. Gordo's got a big following. We've got fuck all. And we can say whatever we want. And, you know, what we do.
Safety in no numbers.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
It's our show. We'll say what we want. Until someone decides to find you and then it'll blow up and you're like, oh, fuck.
Still
like,
don't care.
Savage.
Our show's opinion is our opinion.
You are older than us.
It's often other people's opinion that we just spout for ourselves. So, you know.
Well, this is true. This is true. User upon a rendition on it. Is there any you guys think, all right, let's do question and answers time here. We'll put it all on the line. Is there any question or is there any conspiracies that you guys think, like, let's pick one is 100% real and then let's do one that you guys think is just unequivocally false. I think for me, it's flat art. I just think flat art is not real at all. And I don't entertain it at all when people talk about it.
I agree with you.
Yeah. And then one that I might think is a bit more real is like 9/11 was sketchy in general, but I don't think it was so much sketchy in a, you know, melting steel beams type of way. I kind of think it was more sketchy in, was there a blind eye actually turned to it? You know, was did people know that this was happening and sort of turn a blind eye to it at the time on purpose as a kind of a false flag almost, you know, and they just kind of, they gave the dude the loaded gun before he went in to rob the shop kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
That's my like best case scenario for 9/11.
Yeah.
That is sort of a mixture of incompetence and maybe foreknowledge, but letting it happen because let a good crisis go to waste and all the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, oil wars are always kind of on the menu. I could even see now in the current climate that we're in, you know, heating bills are going through the roof and stuff like that. I wouldn't be shocked if there was kind of rallies for another oil war in the next like 5 years or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I'm with you on Flat Earth as well. It's like, I'm not buying it.
No, any of the big ones, the big astronomical ones, Flat Earth, Hollow Earth theories.
What about Tychos? Tychos is a good one.
Yeah. What's that? That sounds good. What's that?
That's where the Earth is. The Earth's center of the universe and everything rotates around the Earth.
It's not the center of the universe. Our solar system is a binary, isn't
it? That's it, binary, yeah.
And
yeah.
Is it the Sun and Mars?
Sun and Mars are two binary systems.
Yeah, and Earth is like in this sort of slow procession in the middle. You go to tychos.com and you can see Patrick Holmquist's model. It's like a geometric model of the solar system.
Right.
It completely disregards like Newtonian mechanics. Mm-hmm. We're not interested in this. We've got this geometric model, and you can see all the planets going, and it's all correct. The observations are correct. Everything is where it should be at the right time. You can roll it back 1,000 years. You can roll it forward 1,000 years. And it's just an interesting idea. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, anyone that has compelling evidence for one of these conspiracy or alternate theories on things.
What about simulation theory? Do we like simulation theory here, folks?
Do you know what the best thing about simulation theory is, Rob? Is that all this cryptid stuff, whether it's interdimensional rapist monkeys or Bigfoot.
Interdimensional child molesters.
black helicopters. Or whatever it is, if simulation theory is correct, then all that shit is on the table. All of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, so we did two episodes on simulation theory. Those were actually, Lee, to answer your question, those were episodes that we spent a lot of time on. And we had Gordo on the part two of that. It was kind of glitches in the matrix we talked about, but it tied in with the idea of simulation theory. And we just had some accounts and some stories and stuff like that. But I think that one is definitely interesting. It seems like there's a lot of science that's totally ahead of us that we just don't know yet. Like, and it seems like eventually there'll be some type of key that we have. And once we unlock that, basically everything is fucking possible. Like, it just seems like we're way behind on trying to figure that out right now. Like, we're very primitive. but I think anything is on the table. But the simulation one is kind of, I really like it, but I have a hard time believing it. Do you know what I mean? That's kind of the way where I come from with that one.
Well, it kind of makes logical sense, doesn't it? When you look at things like Moore's Law and the advancing in CPU processor speed and all the rest of it, there is a logic to the point that there will be a point where VR becomes indistinguishable from the real world, the real reality. So, you know, if that is possible, how do we know it hasn't happened already? There's a hard logic there, which is hard to argue with.
Mm-hmm. There's a want for humans as well. If you want to get into it a little bit, there's kind of an inherent want for us to simulate things through computers. Like, we want to get into video games. We want to go into this like digital realm. We like want to try and simulate realities. You know, even like, you know, I suppose when you're like stress testing certain computer programs and doing things like that, you're sort of simulating a lot of different outcomes, right? It's like, will we get to a point in the future where it's just we want to simulate our model over and over again, figuring out things about where we come from and stuff? But it does seem like it's all going that way. Like, there's a desire for us to actually go there. It seems like the virtual world is almost a necessity. And it might be a point where once we... like, imagine this, like, imagine we were able to accurately emulate Earth as it is now. Once we get to that point, do we realize that's what's happening to us? Is that when the coin drops and we go, fuck, this is what we're in? Like, you know, once we're able to properly simulate it. It's like trying to put Sims now with shit, right? But imagine we got like people with like the Sims, except you could actually go in and you could interact with these characters and they think you're real and you think they're real.
Like Avatar.
It'd be spooky. Like Avatar, which is like Dances with Wolves, which is like a lot of other films.
I have simulation. A question about the simulation. It's like two different things for me. You've got the simulation where you go with the Matrix, so you're like your body or whoever, consciousness is somewhere else and you're being put in the Matrix. Yeah. So it's like a prison. Uh-huh. And we need to get out, maybe, or we can get back to where we come from. Uh-huh. But the other option is we're just constructs in the Matrix, and you can't, you know, without the Matrix, you don't exist.
Yeah, that'd be pretty sad as well, right?
Well, it's not tragic. Sad, it's just where we are. So if you find out that's where you exist and there is nothing beyond that, then I don't know, is that sad? Is it, I don't know, breaks your reality? It's like, oh, we're just made up. Programs running around, but aren't we all just that anyway?
Maybe. If our God is fucking Intel or something like that, it's a bit upsetting. Yeah. Like, Andy, you're like,
maybe. Sake, like,
Zuckerberg.
Nvidia is our Lord, you know.
And then you'd be like, what's the point of fighting the system? Because we're in the Matrix, but we're part of the Matrix. We can't get out of it unless someone puts us on a hard drive and takes us somewhere else. Wherever.
This is true.
Nvidia is a really good name for like a Sumerian deity back in the day. You know? Yeah, like Babylonian baby eating.
What does it all mean, huh?
Baby eating.
Well, that's, like Moloch, you know, sacrifice to Nvidia.
It's coming full circle.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sort of with you, Lee, in that if it is a simulation, well, we're here and we've got to make the best of it anyway. It's not going to change how you behave or how you...
No.
React to your environment.
It depends on the simulation. If it's like the Matrix where we're somewhere else and we put in this simulation and you can escape back to where you come from, that makes a difference. But if we're not, and this is everything, and if you can't get out of it, then you just make the best of what, you know.
What if this simulation was just made for you, Lee? You're the only real person, the only real consciousness, and where does ones and zeros?
Truman.
Yeah, we're actors.
I don't know. I mean, who made the simulation? Where am I? Can I get out? Am I just stuck here? Why don't they make it
You're
better?
Asking the wrong questions, Lee.
Yeah, I probably am. what question should I be asking then?
I put you on the spot now, Ben.
How do I get to work?
Where the fuck can I fly in this simulation?
How do I hack this? Where's God mode?
You should tell us about your lucid dream, Lee. Are you flying? No, you're flying exploits and you're lucid dreaming.
I'm not doing that now.
You're giving up?
No, I haven't had lucid dreaming for ages. And when I fly in my lucid dreams, very rarely I actually get far off the ground. I end up skimming my belly along the ground. But I know I'm lucid. I'm like, I want to fly. And then I'll jump off a car, get some height.
That's a weird fantasy, man.
It's not fantasy. It's lucid.
It's reality.
And then I'll be like, I fucking can't fly. And then I'll wake up or, you know,
how can you be shit at flying in your own dream?
I don't know. It's really ridiculous. It's the Matrix is holding me back, the bastards. It is. It's the program. It's the program. It's holding me down.
Have you ever tried it, Rob? Have you ever like tried any certain exercises you can do to sort of encourage lucid dreaming? Is there anything you fuck with?
I don't need to encourage anything lucid dreaming, man. I've had some fucking mental dreams, I'll be honest with you.
Really?
I remember one time back before we knew what Kanye was like, I had a dream. I was going through the desert and I stumble across these sand dunes and I see Kanye in the desert get up and I'm like, Kanye, what's the crack? And I wanted to take a picture with Kanye, but my fucking phone battery was dead. I was raging. Of course, now if I took a picture with Kanye, sure, there'd be no clout or nothing anyway. It'd be no use. But I was, it was a cool dream. Then I had a dream one time that me and Eamon were swimming around a walrus pen in a zoo and the walrus was trying to come on us. So we were trying to dodge it. So there you go. Freud could look into that one and tell us a little bit about what's going on in that dream.
What does the walrus represent?
I know, yeah. I am the walrus.
I'm the Eggman.
Then you grew the mustache, right?
Exactly, yeah. Oh, wow. That was the inspiration.
Wow. I would imagine. Do walruses have like normal cocks?
In my dream I didn't see him, which is probably for the best because I could have taken a turn. I don't know.
Mammals, aren't they? The mammals, yeah, probably mammals. Have normal cocks.
Probably packing heat. I'd say they're packing heat, you know. It's a walrus has got a good one on them, you know.
Must go to I'll put a memo down to go to the Sea Life Centre.
Google it.
In the metaverse, for fuck's sake. Google it.
Oh, so yeah. I was actually in an aquarium there a couple of weeks ago and there was a lot of otters and they were all 69ing.
Nice.
They're all going around. The otters were mad for 69ing. They were like getting head to tail and proper going at it. And like I was looking at them going to the lads like, here, check out the otters are doing 69ing. And he looked up at me like, fuck off, annoying me here. I'm trying to fucking eat a minge. Like, and he went back to it then. And then he got up and he went around and checked the other one. He was like, you all right for 69? And then he got down 69 that one. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, you can check it online if you're curious.
How did they not drown?
No, they're on land doing it. I couldn't do that underwater. There's too much science going on there. Like, underground and they're doing it, you know?
Did you check if they were like male, women, male?
I don't think they cared. I think I think they were equal opportunities, you know? They were just going around having a crack, you know?
So come back in the next life as an otter.
Yeah.
The otter simulation.
That'll be something in the metaverse in the future. Put on your headset, you'd be an otter.
Yeah, and then
you can, I don't know, go around and look at what the walrus has got.
That's how Terry Nutkins lost his finger.
69 in?
Yeah, 69
and he's lucky he only lost his finger, man.
Yeah, I know.
His helmet nibbled off.
He was just testing the water, isn't it? Took it too far.
Oh. Limp dick city.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where's Shakira? She popping by tonight?
Eamon, my better half Eamon, he's actually quite close to Shakira right now. He's in Brazil, the fucking bastard. He's on holidays, enjoying the good life. It looks absolutely amazing over there. He's gone to Brazil for like 3 weeks. And it looks fantastic, actually. And like I'm sitting here wearing two pairs of socks. freezing me bollocks off looking at him going, you arsehole. But it looks fantastic. Have any of you guys ever been over to South America?
Nah, man.
No, it's he's been there twice actually. Motherfucker is like fucking Ferdinand Magellan or something going around his place. But he's been over there twice, the lucky fucker. Yeah, it's a nice spot, like, you know. But it's like the hikes and stuff over there look amazing. Like, I'm kind of jealous of them, to be honest.
What's the cryptid situation in Brazil? Do they have any
Mexico,
he'd be close. He's Mexico, but sure, he'd be around there. Yeah. There's, what's his name, El Duende. Have you ever heard of him? He's like a little gnome kind of guy from...
Oh, Matt. He'll be back next week.
Who else is there? We did one recently, and I can't even fucking remember what it was, to be honest with you. But there are a lot of Brazilian cryptids as well, which it's interesting when you examine cryptids from different countries, because whether they are or once were real animals and they're like folkloric tales passed down from different generations, or whether they were just literally folkloric tales to warn people about where they're going, it's all very fascinating, because sometimes you'll get like convergence in the tales, like a lot of stuff sounds similar from different areas. But then you'll have things specific to local areas, which, like we were talking about earlier, like in Africa, you know, there's all the conspiracies that are not conspiracies, but theories that there's like dinosaurs in the Congo and stuff, which is not, it's like Loch Ness, right? You have Loch Ness in over here in the kind of European side of things. And then over in Africa, you've got like Mekele Membe. You've got like, there's another one, like a triceratops called Emela Ntuka. That was another one people were talking about. And then you've got like giant snakes and stuff like that. And
spiders.
Yeah. But like, you see, a big spider could never, like, a science, like, it just couldn't work ever, a giant spider. There was some guy, I think, listened to an old episode of ours, and he was just saying that, I think it's something to do with the oxygen in the environment. Like, spiders can't get big because of that. There was a time on the planet called the Carboniferous era, and insects got huge, and it was due to either high or low oxygen. I want to say high.
It's high.
Yeah,
oxygen.
Yeah. And so we just can't do that now. It's same as a T-Rex. Like, they need way more oxygen. So if a T-Rex was alive today, would they end up being this like tiny sort of, maybe shoulder sized dinosaur or even smaller? Yeah. So, but like, most of that shit just can't happen. But what's interesting is that people still talk about it, and that there's still tales. Like, Australia is a really interesting one too, because they did, like, the Aboriginal people in Australia, like, legitimately fought with, say, giant lizards, giant birds, creatures that were way bigger than what we're used to seeing. And so a lot of their folkloric stuff, their cave paintings, have those giant lizards and stuff like that. So when you see cave paintings from around the world with like different giant creatures, you're like, is there something a bit more to that? It's like Bigfoot. Like, a lot of people say that Bigfoot could have been that Gigantopithecus, right? Is what everyone says, that could be a real life Bigfoot. But the timelines don't really match up. But maybe early man matched up with early Gigantopithecus, and early man passed down these fireside stories of these giant creatures that they once fought. Like, I mean, there was hunter-gatherers in the Americas that were killing giant armadillos that were the size of like Volkswagen Minis, the little Volkswagen Beetles. And the shell was that big that hunters used to use them as shelter on nights out, like when they were hunting, you know. So, and that was real stuff. That was stuff that we were around. We did a series about it. It's called The Mean Pleistocene, which is basically stuff that man kind of drove to extinction, or stuff that we kind of came up against at that time. And there's a lot of interesting stuff there. So when you look at that stuff, you're kind of like, all right, yeah, if the further back crazier stuff like Loch Ness and stuff isn't true, there might actually be some more fun stuff that did happen, and we have fossil records and proof of that is just as interesting, you know.
Yeah, it's not that long ago, man. The Younger Dryas terminated the last ice age, 12,000 years ago? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was humans on every continent then. Mm-hmm. And we had, like you said, the giant armadillos, this short-faced bear, cave bear. There was the giant sloths. There was also
marsupial lions, things like that. Yeah, like crazy.
Saber-toothed tigers.
Yeah, dire wolves.
Favorite. Yeah, dire wolves. Yeah, a bit of Jon Snow action going on there, you know. there was plenty of shit going on. So, like, it's really interesting. And that's kind of, that's the side of it that I really like. That was the side of it that hooked me in. Do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of early paleontology kind of stuff that you're like, oh yeah, okay, there was fucking weird shit around. And there's a lot of fascinating stuff like that. That even with humans, like, I mean, there was Egyptian motherfuckers in Ireland, like, back when there was Vikings here. And how the fuck did they get here? Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot of very interesting stuff from time ranges back then that it's just lost to us, and you'd wonder how much of it is lost. And of course, that's another theory, that we've lost a lot of our knowledge and it's well gone, and there's probably a lot of records about things that we just don't know anymore, things like that, you know.
It's like when we were talking to Chris Tolworthy the other week, and he was talking about mythology and how mythology is essentially history, it's oral tradition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that all these stories, they do have sort of seeds in truth of truth running through them, and you're not supposed to take it all literally, sort of thing. But the retelling, and it's a preservation of knowledge going back thousands of years before there was writing, because writing was like a commercial invention. It's to do with land ownership. It was about tallying. It was about rent, about counting stocks and all the rest of it. We really didn't need that.
No.
For the most of our civilization, depends how you define it, you know.
Yeah.
I love that Gandhi quote where someone goes up to Gandhi, some journalist, and says, "What do you think about Western civilization?" Yeah. And he goes, "Yeah, sounds like a good idea." Yeah, it's pretty accurate, that.
Yeah.
And it's there, like, because we sort of wiped out, there's so much that's been lost, especially when you look at North America.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, what happened with the conquistadors when they went over there.
Yeah,
and they just, you know, everything just gets burnt and pillaged and lost. And we'd have to sort of pick up the pieces, thousands, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years later.
There's a really weird one from Ireland. I first heard about it on the Blind Boy podcast, which, by the way, if anyone hasn't listened to the Blind Boy podcast, is fantastic. But he was talking about a place in Ireland called the Valley of the Mad, I believe was the name. And this is a place for thousands of years where people with mental health problems went and lived in, right? This valley, it was called the Valley of the Mad. Everyone that was quote unquote mad went there to live. And they found out only recently that they were all drinking this water there, this well water. And it was said to heal you, so to have healing properties and you'd be cured of your, again, madness. But they did tests on the water and they found out that there was fucking concentrations of lithium in the water, which is used as an antidepressant. So this was this place that was in from oral tradition that everyone knew about and people used to talk about back then. This is a real thing that people used to go to. Now there has been like more recent stuff where people have said, well, you know, maybe there wasn't as much of a concentration that it could actually benefit you. But the fact that there was an oral tradition about it and that they found something to correlate that oral tradition would lead you to believe that surely there is some sort of truth to it. And maybe even back then, the concentrations of lithium might have been higher in the well water. And this is the thing. So these are all things that it's just crazy that all of this can get lost, these verbal traditions, like things in America, First Nations stuff. I'd say so much of that is lost. So much of it, I'd say, because there was just so many genocides and stuff committed on them that you'd have to imagine that so much good knowledge was just gone, you know, completely wiped out.
So many of their monuments over there being destroyed as well. I mean, I think it might have been the Graham Hancock recent program. He was saying, and I was like flabbergasted, I'll use that word, about the amount. I can't remember what it was, but it was thousands, you know, maybe tens of thousands of their monuments compared to what's left have just been destroyed, you know.
Completely,
People built over them, destroyed them, you know, got rid of them because they were worthless to the, you know, the modern settler.
Or they were just in the way.
Yeah, just in the way.
We want to build a village here, build a town here. We're just knock those hills down, knock this, whatever they had there.
So it was also, it was also to just sort of destroy the imagery of those people as well, like take away what they worship, take away what significance they have. It was kind of a psychological warfare where they did it a lot in Ireland, where a lot of our monuments and things like that, houses of worship, a lot of actually with Catholicism, a lot of our, like, say, pagan stuff would have been completely wiped off the map and replaced with Catholicism, you know what I mean? So it's just seen as a threat, you know, and back then it was, you ruled with a fist, like, you know, so you just came in and smashed what was in the way and said, listen, you're fucking doing what I'm doing or you're not doing anything, you know, you'll die by our sword. So you'd imagine that a lot of shit was lost, you know, but then new traditions are formed, you know. There's a lot of things in Ireland where, say, the Normans, when they came over here, they became very Irish. And then so you have your own sort of Norman / Irish culture that's a hybrid culture in and of itself that has its own unique history. So it's tough to kind of disseminate where it starts and where it ends, I think, with a lot of that stuff too.
Yeah, and a lot of gets incorporated as well. So with the Christianization of Europe, a lot of the pagan stuff got incorporated, you know.
Yeah.
Look at the solstices, like the winter solstice at Christmas and Easter being the equinox, is it? The sun dies for 3 days and is born again. There's all sorts of weirdness going on there that, it was easier for the Romans to incorporate these holidays. I mean, Halloween's an interesting one. If you ever look at like the
Samhain, Samhain is this Irish, really. Like that's what it's kind of. It's funny. Sometimes you'll hear in Ireland, people will give out about people celebrating Halloween, and they'll say that's a fucking American thing. That is, it's literally fucking from here. Like it's not
it's
a fucking
it's Celtic thing. Man.
Yeah. So it's funny. But I think Halloween was definitely celebrated in the UK too. Sure, you would have had it in Wales. You would definitely would have had it in Scotland and probably parts of England as well. So even King Arthur, that would have been like a folkloric thing, wasn't it? That goes back pretty far, like that legend and stuff, right? Yeah. It's like Snowdonia is like one of my favorite spots. I love going over there, and sure, there's all folklore about Snowdon, the mountain itself, and King Arthur was said to be laid to rest at the bottom of the lake and stuff like that in Snowdonia. So there's a lot of interesting folklore over there too. Yeah, it's really cool.
There's so many different avenues to explore with King Arthur.
Yeah,
some people place him in North Wales and Chester and that sort of area.
And
they link it to the Druids and the Druids getting the last sort of Druid stronghold was Anglesey. When they were getting wiped out. And the people in that sort of camp argue that the Glastonbury sort of angle was like a later, what would you call it? Maybe a bastardization or a. Because it links to like Joseph of Arimathea and Glastonbury Abbey and the founding of the church there, the first wooden site there. It's like there's just so many different conjectures and arguments, and you can read a book on one area. Say take the Welsh one. There was two Welsh guys who wrote a book, and they were using like the Welsh bardic tradition, like the stories that the Welsh bards used to sing to each other, and looking at place names and different. Names of places in these areas to try and reconstruct the story of Arthur in North Wales, particularly. You read it, you think, wow, that's great. It makes complete sense. And then you get to the next book and they make a perfectly cogent argument.
That it was someone,
like, there's just so much lost to us. And like you mentioned about Egyptians and like you've got the whole Scorta, Princess Scorta going in and going to leaving Egypt in the late Bronze Age and going up to Scotland and founding a civilization, for lack of a better word, in Scotland. It's like, it's just such a mess, isn't it? trying to make sense of it all.
It's all over the place. And where are you lads from in England?
We're up north, so Preston.
Just south of the wall.
Yeah. Lancashire is kind of where the Billington name is from, which would be like sort of my sort of distant family. But Chester and then Ellesmereport and stuff were where my more recent gang are from. Like my dad would be English, so yeah, they're from all up that neck of the woods. But I'd be familiar with Chester. And whenever I go to Wales, I fucking love the place. Like it's such a nice spot up there in Snowdonia. It's a gorgeous spot. But yeah, so you're all up north then.
Lee, yeah, like we're like
down in London.
Ah, London, Geezer. London.
We're just outside London.
Whereabouts?
By Heathrow Airport.
All right, yeah.
We're closer to Rob than you are, Lee. And we're in the same country.
Yeah.
You're right on the coast, aren't you, Rob?
Yeah, Wexford. Yeah, so it's originally a Viking town, which Wexford means Vice Fjord, which is a bay of the mudflats. When the Vikings landed here, they settled in Waterford, Wexford, and Dublin, and so they were kind of the most. I suppose they're the best places to access between England and Ireland and Wales as well. And so a lot of the invasions, all the landings and stuff actually happened in Wexford. There was a lot of sort of history between Wexford and Wales as well. Like, so there's a lot of history there. Wexford is a nice little spot. It's right down in the corner, sort of southeast. You can get a ferry over. I usually, if I'm heading to the UK, I'll get a ferry from just literally pretty close by to my house, and I can drive straight over to the UK from there. It takes like 3 hours. Happy days.
I'm well overdue a visit across
the
area.
Where have you been before?
Well, my missus's family, they're from this little tiny hamlet called Holy Cross, and it's it's a couple of miles outside Thurles.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Tarlis. Yeah, yeah, that's in Tipperary, right?
Tipperary.
So it wouldn't be too far from me. It'd be like, there's nowhere in Ireland that's too far from anything. But yeah, it's like probably an hour and a half away. Tip is a nice spot, yeah. There's a couple of, and you're really central there, so you can check out a lot of places when you're there, you know.
Lots of cool castles.
On others.
And just beautiful. I mean, it was just so... I mean, it's like we're not from a huge metro. What's the population in Preston? About 100,000, the greater Preston area.
Big enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's big. It's a big town or a small city, isn't it? But like, go over to Thurles and it's like just
like rural.
Well, it is, yeah. Especially if you're outside of like the little hamlet we're staying in. It's like there's a bridge over a lake, over a river, and a shop, and that was pretty much it.
So
that was great. Just leave me here. Leave me here. Don't bother me for a week.
No, there's a lot of cool spots in Ireland and as well in Wales and England. I want to see more of England. I want to do the the Three Peaks Challenge. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna do that one fairly soon. Like I'm fairly big into hiking, and it's one of those things. I'm like going for 35. I'm like, if I don't do it soon, I'll never fucking do it. So probably soon enough, I'll look to do it. If I could hike Snowdon every year, I'd do it. Actually, there's a dream. When we're on the topic of fucking dreams, I had a weird dream. Before we went to hike Snowdon, I thought this was some type of prophecy that I was like, I'm going to fucking die on this mountain. Something crazy is going to happen. I had this dream. We had all planned to go and everything. And in this dream, I was hiking up the mountain. The sky was blood red. I mean, like almost comic book red, like this really vivid red. And in this dream, I felt like I was dying, right? I was like, oh God, something's happened. I think there was a meteor coming down. It was like something out of fucking Final Fantasy VII. And I was like, right, shit's over. And I was with all my friends and family, and we all sat down on the face of the mountain, and we kind of went, this is it. And so before we went on the hike, I was like, I don't know whether we should go up on this mountain now, lads. But yeah, it was all good in the end. So it was a lot of bollocks. But yeah, you can't be worried sometimes about these things, you know.
What is it with the Three Peaks? Do you have to do it in a weekend or something?
A day, 24 hours.
Oh, fuck that. Come on. You'd be driving most of the time, won't you?
Yeah, you've
got to
drive between them. Yeah.
Ben Nevis. You need a driver. Ben Nevis, Scaffold Pike, and Snowdon. Yeah. You need a driver to drive you from Ben Nevis down because, like, it's a fair spin, that is, right?
Is that the idea? You do the worst one first. You do Ben Nevis first.
Yeah, you do Ben Nevis first, I think. And, I've hiked Snowdon 3 times. And the first time I hiked it, I was 5, right? So I'm fucking finished with Snowdon. I love the place, but I'm like, I have to do the others. I need the bigger challenge, you know? So I want to try Ben Nevis next. It's a beautiful looking spot. And I can go and see
Loch Ness.
Loch Ness. Yeah. I can go around and see if I can hear fucking Aleister Crowley doing any fucking sex magic, fucking mad shit. The ghost of Aleister Crowley chasing some fucking women around the hills or something, you know?
That's right. He had that mansion, didn't he, on the banks of Loch Ness?
Jimmy Page bought it. I actually recently seen fucking, would you believe, of all people, Robert Plant live in Wexford. Oh, he played
amazing.
Here. It was fucking amazing. He's a child. I'm named after Robert Plant. That's why my name is Rob.
Excellent.
So when he came to Wexford, I was like, Wexford fucking down, he's been here. But on the subject, that's Beleskin House. Jimmy Page bought that from the Crowley estate. I had heard some stories about that place. We want to do an episode about it, actually. We were actually offered an opportunity to go and shoot a documentary in there. And we just at the time, because we're not full-time podcasters, we just didn't have the fucking time to go like, yeah, we'll take a week off and run over to Scotland. And it was kind of a regret, like, because I'd say it's a fucking mental spa. I mean, he was definitely up to all sorts in it. But we have Loftus Hall. Have you guys heard of Loftus Hall?
No,
I've heard the name.
Loftus Hall, so we did, it was one of our very early episodes we did about Loftus Hall, but there was a lot of history to Loftus Hall. It's a big fucking old style mansion that in more recent times, Oliver Cromwell, when he invaded Ireland, he actually landed down at that spot where Loftus Hall is, and he besieged the house or some shit like that. But before that, the story of Loftus Hall was that it was a hotel and kind of guest house. And if you are from the area, it's on like this peninsula and it's like windswept and there's waves battering pretty close by. It's a really spooky kind of eerie place. And the legend goes that basically one night a weary traveler knocked on the door. It was kind of after hours. The family weren't sure. And they said, yeah, come in. Look, we have a bar, you know, there's people playing cards if you want to come in. So he came in, sat down with the family. They were all playing cards in this room. And the daughter of the family that let him in, she dropped a card and she looked under the table to get the card. And she seen that the traveler had hooves. And So when she seen the hooves, she went, what the fuck, you know, and he burst up through the roof. He went like, oh, I've been found out, I'm off. And the legend has it that there's a hole in the roof that has never been able to be repaired since. And the place fell into disrepair for years and years. And we actually broke into it one time years ago. My cousin and myself, we got up on the roof and it was a fucking big building. And he was pissed. He had like a load of bottles. I think he was drinking whiskey or something. And he was like, I'm going to get into the loft space here. And he gets in and there's like dead pigeons and shit in there. I'm like, I pulled him out by the legs. I was like, this is not happening because this is the start of a horror film right here. Like, your drunk ass is going to fall down through this and onto the floor, break a leg or something. And then there's the horror film that starts. But there, what we realized when we did research was, it was a really sad tale. They reckon that it originated because the daughter of the family got pregnant out of wedlock and potentially to this man who had traveled there. And so what they did was they were a fairly well-to-do family and they probably would have tried to marry her in an arranged marriage or something that would have been beneficial. So what they actually did was they locked her in a room until she had the baby. And when she had the baby, they buried the fucking baby in the walls of the building. And so apparently she was psychologically just completely fucking devastated. And she just went into madness. And then her bones are actually somewhere in Wexford. We did the research and found out bits and bobs about it. So I'd say
should
again,
have took
like
her to that well that had the lithium in it.
Exactly, send her down to the lithium well. They should have done, yeah. Because, but again, with all these things, there's probably the truth lies somewhere in the middle, you know. But I'd say we've come across that sometimes in the past where, you know, madness, especially when you're talking about females, unfortunately, was used as a way to sort of just sweep them away as a maybe they had children out of wedlock, or maybe there was something like that. Maybe there was an affair that happened and they tried to just invent some story when basically they just fucking murdered her or something, which is really tragic. But shit happens, you know, it's crazy.
Imagine exploding through a roof.
I know, I'd be right crack, wouldn't I?
I was going to my supplier the other way. I'm in a building trade.
Nice.
And I went to one of my usual suppliers.
Yeah.
And it's like a big warehouse type building, and the front's like a showroom.
Uh-huh.
We've got all the stuff on the racks, and then there's like the office space behind it where they're all sat behind the desks. And I walked in the other day, and the like assistant manager who's got a desk at the back, Ian, he had this scaffold up around his desk going up through the false ceiling. I went, what the fuck's going on, Ian? He goes, have you not heard? And I went, no. He says, come with me. So he takes me back round counter and into like the warehouse bit, and there's a massive hole in the skylight of this warehouse.
Right.
And he said we had a break in last night, and the guy who opens up, Simon, had come in that morning 7 o'clock to open up, and he'd gone and turned all lights on, whatever, and then gone into the warehouse, and he saw the break in ceiling like that. And then he heard a noise. And there was some scally like this clutching a beam, an RSJ.
All right, how's it going, thank lads? You. What the fuck is going on?
So what's the first thing you do? Get your phone out, take a photo, and then you randomly... And this guy, he'd smashed through the skylight in the ceiling and then jumped down onto this beam, this RSJ, and he couldn't get back up.
Oh,
it was like a 40-foot drop down.
Oh, shit.
And he couldn't get back up through the skylight, so he clung there for 6 hours in the freezing cold.
That's amazing.
I know. Sylvester Stallone shit. That is my cliffhanger.
Oh, that freaked me out. That opening scene when I first saw that when I was a kid. With the glove kiss.
That's bad.
Oh, man.
Do you guys get the sweaty hands when you watch anything like that? Like, fucking my palms sweat up like crazy when I'm watching any of that, like, you know, like the free climbing where they have ropes and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, no.
Those mad Russians. Them mad Russian guys with the phones out walking across beams.
Buildings are worse for me. It's always like, I always see them as like more dangerous because you're like, there's less handholds on a lot of them, like especially those skyscrapers and stuff. When you're going up like a sheer rock, it's kind of, in my eyes, a little bit safer, dare I say. But yeah, man, the lads that do buildings is absolutely crazy. But I watched that, what's his name? Alex Honnold, is that him?
Honnold, yeah.
Honnold, yeah. He's, some of his stuff is just crazy to watch. Like, it's mad inspiring. Like, but that dude is just like cool as ice. Like, there's something not right with him. He's like, yeah, look, fuck, I'm doing it.
he's not long for this world.
No, man.
It's only a matter of time, innit?
Unless it's a simulation.
This is it.
And he's hacked it.
Yeah, he's doing climbing.exe, you know. he's hopping up.
You see all those old pictures of people building the skyscrapers, don't you? And they're out there eating their sandwiches.
The mad bastards yesterday were probably half off their tits on whiskey or something. They're going up, you know what I mean? Those lads were a different breed. Those Irish guys that... The guys that left Ireland during, say, the famine, or even after that, when Ireland was like recovering from the occupancy, those guys are tough as fuck. They had no food. Like, my granddad would tell stories, like, his family would have been English, but he was born here and stuff. And they went back to England, say, in the 40s, I think it was. And my granddad said, like, there'd be guys at that time, Irish guys, they'd come over, they had no money, like, they were fucking piss poor, and they'd sleep in, say, a tiny room, three or four of them would sleep in there, they'd have a frying pan, they'd cook their breakfast when they wake up, they'd have a drink, they'd go and work on the sites, they'd come back, and they'd do the same thing every day. That was all they fucking did. And it was literally just so that they could eat, really. They didn't even have money. But it's the same kind of... It's funny, because they're talking about that shit in Qatar now, you know, the slavery and shit like that. But man, I'm telling you, like, those skyscrapers that you're talking about and stuff like that, those Irish that were building that shit, they didn't have much money, and you could have called them slaves in many terms, I'd say, you know.
Yeah. You can't go into a barbershop in the country without seeing that photo of like the five guys sat on that, sitting on the RSJ.
That's crazy stuff. So what do you do in construction then, Phil? Are you
Sparky?
You're Sparky, are you?
Nice? Yeah, like I control the electrons.
Oh, all right.
It's like a superhero.
Jamie Foxx going around in fucking Spider-Man there, huh?
It's all Magnus.
Fucking the shittest villain ever. Thanks.
I love Sparkies. It's a handy job. It's something I'd never fucking touch myself. So I'm like, I have a friend who's a Sparky. I'm like, always like, come over, do a job for me, do a job for me. Because I will not touch electrics. I'm like, fuck that shit.
Oh, it's not that day. How many times have I been electrocuted?
You can probably count it on 50 people's hands.
Yeah. A few dozen times. I think my record is 12 in a day.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Man. When I was like getting electrocuted.
Getting electrocuted, yeah. I was an apprentice, though.
Got stuck to something? Like, have you ever gotten, like, where it's...
Oh, no, that,
like,
that means you're dead.
Oh, that you're dead. You're done.
There's no way. There's no... Like, you'll see them, they'll touch things with the back of their hand.
Yeah.
Like that.
Okay.
Yeah, if you grab onto something that's live, your curtains, you've had it.
Have you ever been sent flying, like, after hitting off something?
I've took a dive off a pair of steps, yeah.
Shit, well,
I've been
really?
Up on a ladder and done something stupid and then got blown off the ladder, yeah.
Fuck, man, that's crazy. Does the beard go upside down, like, over your face? Does it, like, cover you?
To be fair, I'm on a good run. I reckon it's maybe 2 years. Since I last nearly died.
Let's go on, man. Let's go on.
Dicing with death.
Yeah, it's usually youngsters. Like, you take stupid risks and stupid chances, and that's when you win stupid prizes. Yeah,
it's when your cortex isn't fully developed.
Yeah, it's your cerebral cortex. Yeah, once you get to 27-ish for men,
and you start. I think it gets pushed back every time we talk about this.
Well, yeah, because I'm still
34 in 10 years.
Still a fucking juvenile. I'm nearly 40.
Yeah, true.
I still do stupid things. Yeah, anyway, we've done over an hour already, boys.
Jesus, time flies when you're having fun, lads.
We should wrap this up.
Yeah.
Lee, do you want to go first? Where can people find your stuff?
We're just out there. I just say go look up The Big Conspire. If you can find us, then it's all good. It's meant to be. If not, then it's
back
not.
Off.
Right, well, I'll put a link in the show notes anyway.
Okay.
And what about yourselves, Rob and Monster Fuzz? Where's the best place for people to check your stuff out?
Yeah, anywhere really. Like, you know yourselves, Spotify, generally, Apple Podcasts, whatever you like. We're also doing a live show in Dublin in the new year in the Sugar Club. It's 2 days before Paddy's Day. So there are a lot of people traveling over from the UK and America. It's in a place called the Sugar Club. And we strategically planned it 2 days before Paddy's Day so that anyone that travels over will be here for Paddy's, you know. So that'll be a good crack. So if anyone wants to see us live or just listen to us, you can check it out. Just go to Monster Fuzz and just search them anywhere. You'll find our links and stuff like that. Fairly handy.
Perfect.
Wicked. Right. Well, thanks for coming along, chaps. Stay on the line for us for a minute while we play ourselves out.
Cool.
And check the links in the show notes, guys.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, you know, if your podcast rotation's getting a bit stale.
Yep.
Check out Monster Fuzz and The Big Conspire and, freshen it up.
Yep, get us on your list.
Right.